The rest of us are going to finish up our sermon series this morning that we started about a month ago on what it means to be a church member. And a very important thing to talk about, but also a very important thing to know what Scripture says about different aspects of church membership. We talked about what it means to be a functioning church member. That was week one. How we just do what God's called us to do. That's and we're active and we're functioning as a church member. We do things. It's not enough to come and sit in a pew. Remember, we said church membership is not sitting in a pew, having your name on a church roll, having your own parking spot. That's not church membership. Church membership is active. Week two, we talked about how we ought to be unifying church members. We ought to work together to see God work within our church. We ought to do that and in our community. And then last week, we talked about how we are not going to let church be about our preferences or our desires. That's probably the hardest of the three we've talked about so far, because every person in here is different, every single person. And every single person in here would handle a situation differently than the next person. But when we go backwards from that and we learn that we're going to be unifying church members and we learn that we're going to be functioning church members, there's not a lot of us left in that. Because if we're going to be unifying, that means we have to unify with others. That means we got to put ourselves aside a little bit. And if we're going to be functioning and we're going to be serving, that means we're not worried about what other people are doing. A lot of times we're just serving and doing what God's called us to do. So when you look at this sermon series backwards, it kind of all has built up to this, and it all adds up when you look at it like that. This week, though, we're going to finish up with how do we make sure our family is a healthy church member? How do we lead our families to be healthy church members? Well, Scripture, we've talked about it, we've seen it. Scripture talks about church being like a family. And we have to, in a family, just like in a church, we have to sacrifice, we have to give, we have to love when it's hard to love. And so how do we use that to become healthy church members? We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 today, and I'm not going to read this verse. We're starting in verse 22. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, or a phone, or your tablet, or whatever. If not, it'll be up here on the screen. But to start out the very first verse of Ephesians chapter 5, is a verse that you've probably heard before, tells us to be imitators of God. Imitators of God. And if we're to be imitators of God, we're to be imitators of God when it comes to church membership as well. And so what does that mean? We want to be healthy. We want to be growing Christians. We want to lead our family to be healthy and growing Christians. And to do that, we have to be imitators of God, like Paul said in verse 1 of chapter 5. So when we jump down, I think it kind of shows, and stick with me on this, because I'm going to read these verses to you, and you're going to go, this has nothing to do with being a church member, Justin. But hopefully we'll see what Scripture has in there, what God's Word has in it, and be able to relate it, I think, to church membership in a very, very important way this morning. So Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, says this, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. Since we are members of his body, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound." And we're looking at it saying, yeah, this is a mystery. What does this have to do with being a good church member? What does this have to do with it? But I'm talking about Christ and the church. That's why it has to do with being a church member. To sum it up, Each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. Then he goes on a little bit more just about the family, talks about children. Ephesians 6:1, if I ask either of my boys to quote that, they can quote it. Why? Because I've quoted it to them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Kate, you know that verse? Did you know it? Yep, he knows it. They do good at it sometimes. Honor your father and mother. I've not used this one. Which is the first command with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. I haven't shared that with them yet. I haven't threatened them with that one yet. But then verse 4, look at verse 4. In an interesting verse in Scripture, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. In Colossians, I believe chapter 3, it says this kind of same stuff, but it says fathers, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So there's one verse in this whole section that says, I'm talking about Christ and I'm talking about the church. The rest of it talks about husbands and wives and children and fathers and the family, right? So how in the world does this relate to becoming a better church member and leading our families to be healthy church members? Well, the first thing it does is it tells us this, and this is very, very important. And I am going to beat up on a group of people in here a little bit this morning, okay? Men, you have to lead. I'm one of you, okay? So I'm taking as much heat as you are in this very moment. Men, that scripture tells us, and in other parts of scripture, we could stay here all day and look up other parts of scripture where it says that men ought to lead. You want to have a healthy family spiritually, and you want to grow them to be healthy church members, men, you have to lead. This is not some earned responsibility that you get at some point when you get to be wise enough and then you can lead your family. No. Happens now. Happens the moment you take a wife, a woman as your wife. That's the moment that you start to lead your family. It's not a suggestion in Scripture. This is a command in Scripture that men ought to lead their families. Now, they won't say anything about wives in here. You know why it doesn't say anything about wives leading? Because it's not the wife's job to lead the family. Now, let me go off and say this, because it doesn't really address it in this Scripture. Ladies, if you are the spiritual leader of your house, you keep doing that until your man will step up and do what he's supposed to do. Okay? Keep doing it. I'll support you 100% to keep being the spiritual leader, to pray for your kids, to pray for your husband, to bring them to church anytime you can, to support them, to do whatever you have to do, to teach them the Bible, to bring them to Sunday school, bring them on Wednesday nights, all that stuff. I'll support you, ladies, in every bit of that. But it is not your job to do that. It's not your job. The way it was set up scripturally is for the man to lead his family. You want a healthy family, and to lead a family to be healthy church members, it falls on you, man. It falls right back on you. It's not that men are any better. It's not that men are better equipped to lead. It has nothing to do with that. But it has everything to do with how Scripture sets it up. How God set it up through His Word for the family to best function inside your home and in a extended way inside the church. It's for the man to lead that family. Men, if you're not leading your family, you have missed the boat. You can provide money, you can provide fun, you can provide vacations, you can be fun, you can be strict on your kids, whatever, you can do any of those things. But if you're not leading them to be more spiritually sound and to be closer to Jesus, if you're not leading them spiritually, you have missed the boat. Husbands are the head of the family. It says in here, just like Christ is the head of the church. Listen, I might be a nice guy, but I'm not the head of the church. Josh might be a good deacon. He might be the best chairman of deacons we've ever had, but he's not the head of the church. Lauren Wagner might be the best chairman of the personnel committee this church has ever seen, but he's not the head of the church. Because if any of us were the head of the church, it wouldn't be church. It would be a club, and I'd be the president, or Josh would be the president, or whatever, whoever. And we would take dues, and we would do fun things together. But we're here for Jesus. We're here to grow spiritually. We're here to raise our families up in this. We're here to reach people and tell them about Jesus. So it's not about us. And so if we set up church the wrong way, it's not going to work right. If it's about us and not about Jesus. But Jesus is the head of the church. And just like Jesus is the head of the church, and that's the way it works, and that's the way it's meant to be, Paul says that the man ought to be the head of the family. You ought to be the leader, men. There ought not be any doubt in your family's mind who the spiritual leader of the family is. It ought not be grandma or grandpa. It ought not be your pastor. It ought not be the mom. Although, if you have to, like I said, I'll support you 100%. But men, it's set in Scripture that you ought to lead. It says in verse 23, it's actually talking about Jesus. He says, He is the Savior of the body. You know what that means? To be a Savior of the church means He's the spiritual leader of the church. Men, just like we're trying to be like Jesus, right? So if Jesus is a spiritual leader of the church, we're called to be the spiritual leader of our family. It says at the beginning of this chapter, it kind of talks about how to live a godly life, talks about the darkness to watch out for and to stay away from. And then it jumps into this. So when we're thinking about this, not only men, ought we to lead and love and give of ourselves and do that and be as great a spiritual leader as we could be, but we ought to do that and stay as far away from darkness and sin as possible. That's how we best lead. You can't be the leader of your family spiritually and have a little dark side over here. You can't say, well, it's going to be okay because I'm going to be the spiritual leader, but I'm still going to have my bad language, or I'm still going to drink a little bit too much on the weekends, or I'm still going to treat my wife wrong, or I'm still going to look at these old magazines, or I'm going to look at this website. That kind of stuff won't work. It doesn't work. God will save you from that if you'll ask Him to. I'm 100% a person that can tell you 100% that God will save you from sin in your life if you'll ask Him to take that out of your life. I promise you He will. But we like to hold on to it because we like, well, I'm the leader. I can take care of it. But there's a leader over you, men, and that's Jesus. So Jesus has got to be your leader. You've got to be the leader of your family. You've got to bring them up in the Lord. Second thing that we see here in Scripture, I'm not going to beat up on you as bad wives, but I'm going to speak to you a little bit this morning too. For the man, now listen, for the man that's trying to lead spiritually, he might not be all the way right. It might not be perfect, but for the man that's trying to lead spiritually, wives, you need to let them. You need to let them lead spiritually. You need to support them as they lead spiritually. Can I tell you a secret? You might want to write this down. I don't give any of these deep, dark secrets. I'm going to tell you a secret real quick. Men are not always right. Did y'all write that down? Okay. We don't always do things the right way. We don't always say things the right way. We don't always think things the right way. Do you know the proof of that in this scripture? Look in chapter 6, verse 4, the very last verse I read. It says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Why would Paul have to say that? Because there were fathers who were exasperating or stirring up anger in their children. Because we're not perfect. We're not going to parent perfect. Moms, you're not going to parent perfect. Aunts and uncles are not going to aunt and uncle perfect. Like, we're not going to do it. But for those men that are trying to lead spiritually, they need a helper in that. They need a support system in that. And wives, that's where you fall into place. If the man is leading,
trying to lead spiritually, then you need to be there to support them. Verse 31 of chapter 5, he says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Do you know why it said that in that scripture? To remind us that men need a partner. We can't do this. Men can't do this on their own. We can't do this on their own. I've got the best partner. I've got Lindsay. Some of y'all don't have that. I understand. But I've got the best. But listen, we need that. Men aren't perfect. We have to have that. Ladies, you have to be that support system to a husband, to a dad that's trying to lead spiritually. That doesn't mean the one that's not trying to lead spiritually, you brush things under the rug. No, if you've got to lead, you lead until he'll step up. But when the guy steps up, he needs a helper. He needs a supportive cast with him. And wives, you are that support system. A family that doesn't have a husband that leads and doesn't have a wife that supports won't ever live up, won't even get close to living up to the family that God intends family to be. So specifically, what can you do? Let's pretend like we leave here and dads and husbands are going to lead. And wives and mothers are going to support that dad and husband and lead with them together, support them through that as they try to grow their families in Christ, as they try to be a spiritual foundation for their families, to teach them about Jesus, raise them up in the church. Let's pretend like everybody's going to do everything right. And we have our position set. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what God's called us to do in the family. Well, then, specifically, what do we do? Because we can say, well, you know what? I will try to lead, but how do I teach my family to be a healthy church member? How do I lead my family, my kids, to be healthy church members? Number one, you ought to teach them to pray for their church. If you're gonna lead your family to be a healthy church member, everybody in your family to be healthy church members, you ought to teach them to pray for their church. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is not going to be on the screen, but it's two words: pray always or pray continuously. That's all it says. And if we're to pray always, guess what that involves? That involves praying for your church, praying for all things always, always being ready to pray. That means when you get on Facebook and you see somebody in the church struggling, you pray for them. That means you pray for your leaders. That means you pray for those in leadership in the church. Pray for discernment for them. Maybe pray for protection for them, physical or mental or emotional or spiritual protection for your church leaders. Pray for the teaching that your church leaders will teach. Me among you guys, Nick with the students and the kids. Sunday school teachers that are going to teach, pray for them. Pray for the families of your church leaders. One of the best things somebody can come and tell me, it makes my heart so happy, is when somebody tells me they pray for my kids. Because y'all have tried to raise kids before, some of you all have. You know how hard that is. And then think about being involved in a church, and not all churches are perfect. And think of the things my kids have heard. Think of the things my kids have seen. Think of the things my kids have heard said about their parents or seen done to their parents. Or think about the things that Nick and Kelly's kids will see about them as they grow up. Pray for their kids. Pray for your leaders' kids. And then pray for other church members. Pray for their families. Pray for the struggles they have. Pray for what's going on in their life. Teach your family to pray for their church. Second thing you can do to lead your family to be a healthy church member is worship together as a family. I've said this before, and it's kind of a joke, but I'm serious about it. I'm glad that it happened. I always said I had a drug problem growing up because my parents drugged me to church. And that is not untrue. I mean, I can't tell you a Sunday or a Wednesday I ever missed on purpose. Like we just decided to sit at home and miss. I don't remember one of those. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that because my parents taught me the importance of worshiping together.
Encourage your family to worship together. I would go to college, and if I was at college on the weekend, rarely I stayed up there and stayed. My parents couldn't force me to go. But even when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and I was still living at home, Sunday morning rolled around, guess what? It was a non-negotiable. I was going to go to church and worship with my family. Some of y'all be like, well, I'm not going to force my kids to do that. You're not going to force your kids to hear God's word of all things. You'll force your kid to go to work. You'll force them to go to school. You'll force them to drive the speed limit. You'll force them to eat their vegetables. But you're not going to force them to hear God's word. See how wrong that is? See how we've got things flip-flopped? Worship together as a family. Lead your family to worship together. Your parents, you're the one that sets the standard for worship. You want to know why kids stray away from the church? Some when they're teenagers and or when they're younger adults? It's because you've set the standard. We've set the standard. We've said it's okay to do that. Encourage them. Encourage them. And listen, hey, I understand. Kids get a certain age, they start making their own decisions. I get that. We're getting ready to get through that. We're getting ready to start that level of raising kids. I get it. I've seen it. And I'll live through it the next 8 or 10 years, okay? So I don't know everything. But I know we set the standard, and I know we can lead my family. My wife and I, Lindsay, can lead our family to worship together. Maybe your family's not here this morning. Maybe your family is the mission field. Don't be satisfied until your family is saved. Don't be satisfied until you can really all worship together as a family. Pray for your family. Pray for those in your family that maybe are here today. Maybe they don't know the Lord. Maybe they're not here today. Maybe they don't know the Lord. Pray for those people. And then the third thing I think we can do is just to fall totally in love with Jesus and His church. Just fall totally in love with Jesus and His church. Here's what I mean by that. Some of you like your church. Why I like the church? I like it. They serve good potlucks when we have a potluck, or I like my Sunday school class, or they have a good kids' ministry. Or the parking lot's really nice and easy to get to. Or we have good music. I like church. That's not good enough to like your church. It's not good enough. Or not only don't just like your church, but I would say this. Don't just decide you're going to serve the church. That's not good enough either. Did you know there are people in every single church across America, I would imagine, every church I've ever served in, there are. Every church across America, I would say, there are people who serve the church, but they don't love the church. Well, I'm on a committee, so that means I love Jesus. You don't know the work I put in at the church to help that thing keep going. You don't know. But they don't love the church. I teach a Sunday school class, but they don't love the church. Well, I help, and I come to outreach stuff, and I come to the Halloween on Main, and I help pass out candy, but they don't love the church. You know, there was that one time that there was this spill on the ground, and I went and got a mop, and I cleaned it up. You know, that means I really love the church. I serve. No, it doesn't mean you love the church. It just means you got caught serving one time. Falling totally in love with Jesus will mean you've fallen totally in love with the church. Falling in love with the church means you pray for the church. It means you support the church. That means you support the ministries of the church. That means it doesn't just mean that you serve somewhere or that you like the music. It means that you've fallen in love with Jesus first. And because of that, and Jesus gave His life for the church. And it's not Cadiz Baptist Church. It's the church as a whole. It's every Christian that's ever walking this earth. That's the church. Jesus said He gave His life for the church. Even when that church wasn't perfect, He loved it and gave His life for it. That's what it looks like to love your church. It means even when things aren't perfect in the church that you're a member at, you love the church. As long as something unbiblical is not going on. Goes back to last week of not wanting our own desires, right? As long as something unbiblical is not happening, you stay in love with Jesus and you stay in love with the church. You support it. Just like our families. Our families aren't perfect. Our church is not perfect. But we love our families unconditionally. We teach our families to love each other, to stick together. That's what it looks like to be a healthy church member. That's what it looks like to lead our family to be a healthy church member. We teach them to fall, teach our families to fall in love with Jesus and teach our families to love the church that we're members at. Romans 5:8, Paul says this, "But God proves His own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Even while we were at our worst, Jesus still loved us enough to go to a cross and die for us. Even when our church is at its worst and at its lowest, Jesus still died for every person in this room. And He still loves every person in this room. And even if we have a disagreement, even if we don't see eye to eye on something, again, as long as it's not a biblical issue, we still love each other. We walk out of here loving each other and loving Jesus. You know one of the greatest, I think I've told you this before, one of the greatest groups of men I've ever been around in my life was our deacons that we had in Alabama. I love our deacons here, love every one of them. Some of my favorite guys in the world. But the deacons in Alabama, we would discuss something. Had a couple of times. It didn't really get contentious, but it got a little bit hot. Like guys had some differing agreements or differing thoughts on stuff. We would discuss. We would come to a conclusion. We would stand up. Those men would hold hands. Those grown men would hold hands and pray with each other, and we would leave there, and you wouldn't hear about it again. Greatest group of men I've ever been around in my life. Because of how they loved each other, despite what they might have thought in their own mind was the best thing to do in one time or another. It didn't matter to them. What mattered was they wanted people to know Jesus. What mattered was they knew that they ought to love each other. That's what it looks like to fall totally in love with Jesus and the church that you're a member of. I can tell you this about Cadiz Baptist Church. If you're a member of Cadiz Baptist Church, you've got a group of deacons here that love you. We split people up into family groups with the deacons. We've got to do that again because we've had some new people come up. We split people up. Most of those guys do an awesome job of checking on them, and a lot of those guys do good checking on other family members too, of other deacons that are there. Nick and I will love you. David, we'll love you. Tracy in the office, she'll love you. I can promise you that. I might not see eye to eye with something on you, but I'm going to love you anyway. And I'll tell you that, just so you know it. I'll remind you of that. I will love you and do anything for you. And I think we've got a church like that. If you think you're going to come to Cadiz Baptist and you're going to come to a perfect church, no, that's not. But we will love on you. And we will try our best to love you like Jesus. You want to lead your family to be a healthy Christian and a healthy church member? Yeah, it starts with you. It starts with you to lead. Husbands, men, dads, starts with you. Ladies, continues with you. Kids, you're in there too because you ought to respect and love your parents because they're trying to lead you to love Jesus. Nobody in this room this morning is exempt. It takes all of us. It takes all of us to be healthy Christians, healthy church members. Takes us all falling in love with Jesus. Takes us imitating His love for people and His love for God. We ought to imitate those things. That's what we ought to do this morning. And then to love Jesus, who is the Son of God, says in Scripture that the church is His bride. You can't love Jesus and not love the church. It doesn't happen. Can't happen. If you say you love me but you don't love Lindsay, guess what? We're not friends. We're not hanging out. You're not coming to my house. Don't get any chicken at my house. Mm-mm, no. Can't love Jesus and not love His bride, the church. You have to love Him. And you have to love His bride. How's that relationship? How's your relationship with Jesus, number one? And if that's good, how's your relationship with His bride, the church? Is that good? And then how are you leading yourself and others to fall in love with those two same things? If you don't know Jesus this morning, church membership means nothing to you. The church means nothing to you. Jesus really doesn't matter. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you need to know Him. You need to know this about Jesus. Jesus not only died for you when you were at your worst, like we just read a while ago, but He went to a cross for you, died the worst death probably possible in that time period for you, so that you could know Jesus personally. I don't know who else to love more than that, somebody that gave His life for me. I love Jesus for that. And no, I don't understand everything in Scripture. I don't understand everything about Jesus. I don't understand why He went to a cross for me. But He did. And He did it for you. And if you'll turn your life over to Jesus today, if you'll kind of throw your hands up and say, I just can't do it. I've tried it on my own. It hadn't worked out. I just need Jesus. I just need to turn my life over to Him. He will save you. He'll forgive you this morning. He'll give you a brand new heart and a brand new life. If you need Him to do that this morning, that's more important. Forget everything that's been said about church membership. You just need Jesus. You just need to be saved and forgiven this morning. And then when you fall in love with Jesus, you learn that you need a church family to help support you and love you, to guide you, be there for you, somebody to worship with. You've got a church family here if you want one. But Jesus is number one. If you don't know Him, you need Him this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for today, Lord, for the message that we see in Scripture. Jesus, that we can lead our families. We can lead our wives and our kids as men, Jesus, to be healthy church members. And Lord, I pray for those men that are in here today that maybe feel less than prepared or like they're not good enough to lead. Lord, they're not good enough to lead, but because they follow You, You make them okay to lead. You qualify them to lead. So Lord, help us to follow You first, and leading our family will come into play second. And then Jesus, for those ladies that are here today that are sitting here thinking, I wish I had a man to lead my family. I wish I had a husband to lead my family. I wish they would do that. Lord, You be with those ladies today. And if, as long as they need to lead, Lord, we'll support them. We'll cheerlead for them. We'll be there and help them. But Jesus, we ask that the men in their life would step up, that they would be the leaders that You've called them to be. Thank You for those ladies that have stood in the gap. So many have stood in the gap for men that won't lead. And they stand in, Lord, because they love You. And they want their family to know and love You. And then, Jesus, You be with our kids as we try to lead them and our families. Lord, be with them. Help them not to worry so much about church membership as they do their relationship with You, Jesus. And as parents, we're not going to get it right all the time. Lord, help them to have wisdom about grace beyond their years to be able to deal with us sometimes in our weak moments. But Jesus, help us as parents to lead. Help our kids to follow You, Jesus. Help us not to be satisfied until our family is a family that worships together and loves You together, Jesus.
Help us never to quit searching after you. Be with us this morning, Lord. For those of us that have not led like we're supposed to, help us to lead this morning. Lord, if we need to come down and pray something out, help us to come down and pray something out. Help us to get it straight here before we leave and get back out into this world. Lord, we want to put you first. You lead us this morning, Holy Spirit. Prick our hearts. Make us move physically if we need to come and to pray. Or maybe somebody here today, Jesus needs to just throw everything down and just follow you. Just need to throw their life aside and just follow you, Jesus. Pray that they would do that today, Lord. We ask it in your name. Amen.